and welcome to Weird or Wise. I'm your host, Rachel, and I am inconsistent. I'm just going to state that right out front in public so that you can't be mad at me for it. Or be mad. That's fine. I wouldn't blame you. I have been intending to put this podcast episode together for quite some time, since October to be exact, which is a ridiculous amount of time ago, and I'm just now getting to it. But last year, in October, we celebrated Wicked or Wise's second birthday. Now, that's kind of a stretch since for most of 2022, I barely posted anything. I am planning on rectifying that this year, though, so no worries on that. But anyway, 2 years since the concept of the podcast was born into this world, after much like a child being gestated within my brain for a good amount of time preceding. This got weird. I apologize to everybody who's listening to this. Stop listening because I don't know, guys. I gotta be honest with you. I'm kind of in a funky place mentally right now. I'm always in a funky place, but I'm in a funkier place than usual. So I don't really have anything to say for myself. 2023 is the year of total transparency and ridiculous honesty. I was thinking about Mary and Martha a few days ago, and I actually thought, oh, this would make a good podcast episode if I had the energy to create one. But I was thinking about how Martha is so fed up because she's got this giant task list, and if she doesn't do it, no one else is going to. Like, girl, I get it. I get it because that's been my whole life. I think every woman in the world can relate. Like, there's just a giant list of tasks that it is assumed you will take care of. And men, you have this too. Sorry, I'm not trying to single just women out as though their life is harder. I actually think men's lives are harder, but that's a whole topic for another day. I'm just trying to talk about Martha and Mary. And Martha is, I would think, personally, based on the way I read her story, suffering from anxiety. Because the things that she does and the way she phrases things and the frustration and resentment she has towards Mary are things that I completely get and feel oftentimes in my own life, where I am working my tail off because there's a long list of things that has to get done. And other people are just content to not do that list and to let that list wait. And then I get resentful towards them because I'm like, don't you understand there's stuff that has to be done? Don't you understand that this list does not go away if you simply ignore it? You have to actually do something on that list. Oftentimes, that actually carries over into ministry. Sometimes I get fed up when other people prioritize rest because I'm like, don't you get that there's all these tasks in this world that have to be done? And you're just going to say, nope, not me. I'm not helping with that one. Like, if you have it in you to help, help. And I can put myself in a tailspin of hard work, absolute exhaustion, resentment towards my brothers and sisters in the Lord, and wanting to just throw in the towel and go to bed for a week, but refusing because I can't be like the people that I've come to resent for not doing as much as I feel they should do. And that's stupid. This was not the point of this episode today, but here we are. We're knee deep in it. So ladies, gents, I'm just going to keep talking. I'm sorry. The funniest thing about it all is it's all just a choice. It is literally a choice. And Jesus made it so simple for Martha. And he makes it so simple for all of us. Any one of us who is struggling with severe anxiety about never-ending to-do lists and the knowledge that there is infinite number of people relying on you and counting on your resources and feeling guilty because you know you have more and yet you're not giving 1,000% of your empty tank. Jesus said it is really easy. And it really is if you think about it. He said Mary chose the good thing. She just chose to sit down. There was nothing wrong with what Mary did. And there was nothing wrong with Martha working. But when Martha was working to the point that she had resentment towards her sister for resting, and she felt frustrated because she felt alone in her struggle, Jesus pointed out that it's so simple. It's so simple. Because he doesn't intend us to get to that point. That was never his desire. His desire was not to work his children to the bone. How many of you have kids that would make them do chores literally from dawn to dusk? No one feels that way about their kids unless they're sick. And Jesus doesn't feel that way about his kids. He doesn't expect us to work to the point that there's no joy in life. In fact, he instructs us to have joy. And if you read in the book of Ecclesiastes, that whole book is about, if you really think about it, life outside of the call of God is pointless. So eat, drink, be merry. That's not saying don't do anything worthwhile, but it's saying don't forget that life is kind of meant to be enjoyed. Like, he didn't create us to suffer. That wasn't the whole point. And yes, there is joy in suffering and there is miraculous power in suffering, but that was not the entire point of existence for humanity. God wanted to feel a kinship with someone. He wanted to be romanced and he wanted to romance. He wanted to love and care for and he wanted to be ministered to. And sometimes, if we're honest, if I am honest, sometimes I think God needs more of me ministering to him and his desires than I need of him ministering to mine, which is absurd because he's a God of infinite resources and I am a human of frailty. I am what the scripture calls a weak vessel. Well, weaker. You get my point. And I'm thinking about this a lot lately because we make it so complicated in our heads and we feel like if we don't work hard enough, just put in enough hours, if going to church is not a second job, we're not doing enough. That's stupid. And here's why it's stupid. Because that's what the enemy wants us to think. And scripture tells us that. It says that he tries to wear out the saints of the Most High. His goal is to exhaust us in our work, exhaust us in our labor. And Jesus was telling Martha, honey, set down the broom. You don't have to work all the time. You can just sit and be in my presence. You can let me love you. So I've been analyzing my life and I've been thinking about the things that I can remove. And the funniest thing is, I was talking to my boyfriend about this recently. I feel so guilty. I feel so guilty even considering asking to do less. And he was like, Rachel, if it's draining you and making you miserable, if it's making your walk with God feel like work instead of love, no one expects that of you. So that's where I'm at in life right now. I am pulling from an empty tank. Trying to refill it and pouring out far faster than it's refilled. So I'm going to be taking a step back from some stuff in my life because I want to make room for the things that bring me joy again. Sorry for that tangent. Good Lord. Was not expecting to drop all of that on you guys, but hey, I did tell you this was going to be the new era of Wicked or Wise where we're transparent, raw, and honest. And that is what I have been. And I feel sick to my stomach, but I think I'm going to leave it in anyway. Before I move on from this, I just want to read that Mary and Martha story to you. Because I feel like I'm not alone, especially coming out of the holidays. I think after the holidays, we have pushed ourselves to the very brink of our capacity oftentimes because it's an emotionally, physically, spiritually draining time. Let's just be real. No matter how much you love your family, holidays are exhausting. They're fun. They're magical. And they're exhausting. So let's just take a second and read that story. I'm reading the English Standard Version. That's my preferred version of the Bible, if anyone was wondering. Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good thing, which will not be taken away from her. Do you hear the way the scripture phrased that? She was distracted with serving. And Jesus pinpointed exactly what was at the heart of the issue: anxiety. He said, Martha, you're anxious and troubled about many things. We can become so consumed with anxiety. You know, a lot of people think that anxiety is just being terrified of the world and things that could go wrong. And sometimes it is. Oftentimes it is. But a huge part of anxiety is fearing that you can't keep up. And so you don't ever rest. At least that's how it is for me oftentimes. There are very few things that I'm afraid of. I guess that's not true. I'm terrified of drowning because I almost drowned as a teenager. And that really scarred me. I'm not so much a fan of heights. I'm better now. However, the idea of plummeting to my death is terrifying. I get a little bit of fear when I'm in an airplane because it just doesn't seem possible. And I, now that I've seen my boyfriend cut his finger off, I'm now terrified of body parts being cut off. So I guess now I have fears. more than one or two. I'll say that's fair. That is fair. But what I'm talking about is not like sane rational fear that keeps you alive fear. I'm talking about the things that keep you up at night. And like, I don't stay up at night staring at the ceiling because I'm thinking about falling off a bridge. I stare at the ceiling thinking about 30 things I haven't yet done and 30 more things that I want to do and how I feel like I'm behind in everything. I'm behind in taking care of my walk with God. I'm behind in taking care of my walk with my friends, with the people that I mentor, with my family. I'm behind in my physical health. I'm behind in keeping up on my house because there's 3 specks of dust right over there. And I'm behind in my church ministry because I haven't posted the church's latest episode to the podcast this week. And I'm behind in making sure that the music list is ready for Tuesday. And I'm behind in brainstorming ideas for Ladies Night Out and how that's all going to go. And I'm behind in connecting with people. I'm behind in Bible studies with the people that I'm trying to reach. I'm behind on this podcast. And it just like keeps me up and it exhausts me further. And that's what Martha was doing. She was so exhausted thinking about all the things that have to be done. Not menial things, not just doing dishes or just preparing a meal, which by the way, when your anxiety is high, doing dishes and preparing a meal is exhausting. But she was feeling anxious and troubled about so much more than the dish she was cleaning or the bread she was serving. She was thinking of the infinite number of things that had to be done in her personal life, in the life of her friends, and in the community, her church community that was being created before her eyes. And on top of all of that, she had to take care of herself. And she had to find time to draw closer to God. But how could she find time to draw closer to God? Because no one else was doing anything. She was alone. And we've all been there. We've all been at the point of breaking. And right as we're about to say, somebody please help me, someone else quits. And they might just quit one thing, but then it throws you into a tailspin. And you're like, oh my God, no, that's another person down. Like, I can't quit. And now I have to take on theirs too. But you don't. You don't have to. Because only one thing is necessary. Only one thing is good. Only one thing can help ease your mind. And it's not completing that task list. That task list will never go away. And it's not taking on the burden that was just deserted by your co-laborer in Christ, because that burden will just be replaced by another burden. The only thing that can cure that anxiety, that feeling of overwhelm, that feeling of exhaustion, is to take a break, to sit down with Jesus, to cast your anxieties and your cares upon him by trusting that not everything's gonna fall apart if you don't get it all done all the time as soon as possible. And then experience the liberty of it just being okay. What is the worst thing that can happen? I ask myself that a lot because therapy's taught me some things. I've also learned quite a bit from reading about the brain and how to get out of ruts and things. And one of the key things you can do for yourself when you're feeling overwhelmed and stressed out of your mind is just say, what is the worst thing that could happen right now? What is the absolute worst case scenario? Most often, it ain't that bad. Most often, sometimes worst case scenario is really scary and really not good. Most often, it ain't that bad. Most often, it ain't even bad at all. So let's just give ourselves a break, guys. Let's just stop worrying. If anyone out there is exhausted and stressed and your task list is overwhelming you, I, with Jesus's permission and authority backing me, give you permission to just take a break. Rest in his presence. Instead of completing your task list, set aside a few minutes to talk to Jesus, to worship him. Just rest. We were meant to rest. God designed us to need rest, and he equipped us to take that rest by showing us the way to it, that way being Jesus. So read some scripture, be encouraged. It's gonna be okay. And I'm saying this to myself as much as I'm saying it to you. It is gonna be okay. You don't have to do it all. You're okay. I'm okay. We're all okay. So yeah, that's the season I'm in. I'm looking for things that I can take off my plate. Don't worry, this podcast is not one of them. In fact, I believe truly that part of why God is pounding this home with me, that I need to rest and I need to take breaks and I need to remove some things from my list, is because he wants me to free up the energy and resources mentally, emotionally, spiritually to do this podcast more. Doing this, it's so funny. I dreaded sitting down with this microphone. I feel so free and just joyful sitting here recording this, even though I am sharing some very twisted thoughts in my brain. Some very, are you okay, Rachel? Thoughts. Now let's get on to the fun stuff. Reader submissions. Wow. Okay, the first thing, before we get anywhere, let's review our episodes thus far. We have done a lot. And I asked you guys what your favorite episodes were. And I, first of all, was speechless when numerous of you said the raw, unedited episode about perfectionism. So thank you for that, because that was painful to publish. But I'm so grateful that you guys listened and enjoyed that, and that it ministered to your hearts. A lot of people said Itzabel, which obviously, first episode, definitely one of my favorites. Some said JL. Yes, love that. Balaam's donkey. You best believe that was a fun episode. Someone said the Esther episodes, but a special mention. They wanted to make sure I gave a special mention for the effects, the musical effects that were in those episodes. And thank you very much. That was very, very fun to do. And actually whetted my appetite for more dramatic production like that in the future. The Eve episodes, I am still mind blown by the Eve episodes. I feel like there was so much revelation in those that I just can't even process it fully. I'm still processing. Someone said Deborah. Yes. Priscilla. Yes, yes, yes. Rahab, Rachab, all of them. A lot of people just said all of them, everything, love them all. Thank you guys. I agree with everybody. Well, not on the all of them part. Like, there are some that like I cringe when I listen to, but I'm not going to talk to about that because anyway, that's the perfectionist in me. But yeah, I think they were all so much fun. Like, seriously, so much fun. I love each and every one of their stories. Okay, moving on from that to listener names. So here's the deal. We have quite a large group of listeners to this podcast, which I don't know why you're sticking around as inconsistent as I am, but thank you. And we need to come up with a listener name, or like what to call all of us who are a part of this group of Bible geeks. And so I did ask on Instagram for some ideas, and I think I have decided on what we're going to do, but I wanted to read them all because they were pretty cool. We got several submissions. Someone said culture babes, and then someone else said culture babes and culture dudes. So you guys were on the same It's a Culture Babe train. One person said wiseys. Another said wisers. Someone said wise guys and wise gals. Okay. These people have my heartbeat. David's fangirls and the Daviders. I'm on it. Yes, love, much love. And then the one that I think is actually going to win, WoW Crowd. I think that one's great because WoW, W-O-W, Wicked or Wise, the WoW Crowd, I think it flows. It's fun. So if you're on board with the WoW Crowd, just say you are. I don't know. I think we're going to do that one for sure. Yeah, because it's just cool. And I can foresee merch in my head. Wow, crowd it is. I feel like it's gender neutral, so boys and girls can be on the wow crowd train. And it points the finger towards the show. So that's cool. Thank you guys so much for your submissions. That was a ton of fun to read. I was cracking up, especially on the Daviders and David's fangirls. Like, yes, chef's kiss. All right, there was some fan mail that was written in, so I wanted to read that off to celebrate the second birthday of the podcast. The first came from Brooke Janae. She said, "This podcast has helped me learn so much more about the Bible." Angela Perry said, "I'm so happy that you're back. I love your podcast so much that I'm obsessed, LOL." Girl, same. Nina Barnett. "You've been such an inspiration. I started a group at church to discuss characters of the Bible, and you definitely helped me figure out how to discuss and research. I'm so glad that you're back and stronger than ever. God has definitely blessed your work and your ministry." Girl, you're gonna make me cry. Don't. Okay, thank you so much. I'm so excited that you have a group at your church. There have actually been a couple of people who said over the years that they've started small groups at their church to discuss different people in Bible and to do more in-depth character studies. And that's just the coolest thing ever to me, like mind-boggling. I love that. That's such a fun way to study scripture. B. East said, "Hey, I absolutely love your podcast. I heard about it from the Justin Gleason podcast." Shout out to Justin Gleason. "I have shared with so many friends, both men and women, as I feel it is very insightful and God-led. There have been many nuggets of wisdom and things I never thought of before in your episodes. The one about Eve still makes me think. Keep doing what you're doing, and I hope your podcast and ministry are blessed and continue to bless others." Thank you so much. That is so very kind. We love Brother Gleason's podcast. He is the founding father of Apostolic Podcasts. And thank you. Any wisdom, any nuggets of wisdom are from God. I cannot take any credit. And the one about Eve making you think, I am in the same boat. Thank you so much for writing in. Okay, now for some questions. This is going to be fun. And actually, I put all of these in a Google Doc back in October. So I don't even remember what the questions are. So this will be interesting. All right. First one up, Aaliyah said, "Which woman of the word do you feel you most resemble?" Ooh, who do you want to resemble? I would love to resemble Abigail or Abigail because the Bible describes her as full of discernment and beautiful. What woman doesn't want to be beautiful and wise? So I wish I was like her. The one I feel like I most resemble, that's harder. That's very difficult. I think probably, oh gosh. You know what? I'm going to go with Mary Magdalena. And I know we haven't done a study on her yet, but we will be soon. I relate to her a lot in that she came from a fairly corrupt past and struggled with a lot of things. Now, my struggles and corrupt past were not the same as hers, but I relate to that feeling of brokenness and despair that I think she felt, and her therefore born ardent love, desire, and passion for Jesus. Like, I feel that to my core. I feel like God has saved me from so much, and he has been the greatest knight in shining armor in my life that I'm obsessed with him, you know? I'm head over heels for him, and I just want everyone in the world to know Alexis Taylor says, what inspired you to start the podcast? I decided to start the podcast because I am a nerd and I was fangirling over this podcast, which I highly recommend, called The History Chicks. Now, sometimes they're a bit annoyingly political. Most often, they just stay focused on telling the stories of women throughout history. It's two friends who sit down and talk to each other over a microphone. I loved the way they did it. I loved the stories they were telling, the approach of start to finish. And I kind of was just vaguely interested in the idea of podcasting. I used to be a blogger. I wrote a lot of blog posts back in the day. Shout out if anybody knows rachelsrambles.com. But anyway, I used to be a blogger and I kind of missed that creative outlet, but writing was just not quite hitting the spot for me, whereas podcasting just intrigued me on a whole other level. And so I kind of put the two things together. I was like, you know, I should start a podcast and I need a reason to research these people in scripture. And also the women's stories in scripture are not told that often because there's not much detail and it takes a lot of elbow grease to dig it out. So that was born. And then I kind of fashioned the setup of me talking to a friend after the History Chicks. Though I did kind of change it up in that it's a different guest each time. I am considering the idea of a permanent co-host for the story time episodes, but that's something that's kind of being tabled for thought for another time because I don't currently know of anyone who would be able to commit to that. And when I think about doing something long distance, whoever it would be would have to know how to use podcasting equipment for quality because I'm OCD about sound. But anyway, that was a very long-winded way to say that I was inspired by the History Chicks, my love for history, anthropology, learning different cultures and people's stories, and then wanting to share them. By the way, I've always been a storyteller. My entire life I have been a storyteller. I created stories. I was writing fictional stories as a kid, like little kid, and my favorite pastime, oh my gosh, my favorite pastime as a young teenager, preteens to young teens, was something called role-playing on Neopets. And it was basically like there was a storyline and then multiple people would write different segments of the story and you would like role-play your character by interacting in a text format. Yeah, so that's how much of a nerd I am. And then I would always read stories in books. My favorite books as a kid were biographies. And then I would want to tell my mom those stories. And I have a very vivid memory of my mom telling me to please sum it up. She didn't want all the details. So yeah, I've always been a storyteller. And combining all of these things bore Wicked or Wise. Okay, Jujubee Tanner, how many women are mentioned by name in the Bible? I did have to Google this because I knew there were a lot, but I couldn't remember exactly how many. And the answer is, depending on the type of Bible you're reading, 188 to around 205 women are named in scripture. So don't worry, plenty of story time content to come your way. I do actually have a complete list in my Google Drive docs where I am tracking whose stories I've told, whose stories intrigue me, and all of that kind of goodness. But yeah, there's actually a lot of women named in scripture, and there's even more women who make very important appearances in stories who are not named. Like, for instance, the Shunammite woman who killed that king by dropping a millstone on his head. So, Allie Bell Schroeder, which person's story surprised you the most when you researched it and why? That's hard. Okay, this one's tricky because I think my actual answer is Esther. Esther is someone I did a deep dive into when I was 15 or 16 years old. I did it for school. I was writing, actually, again, on that nerdy side, I was writing a fictional novel about her. Now, that fictional novel will never see the light of public day. cringe to think about it, but it was called The Secret Diary of Esther, and it was written from her viewpoint and whatever. Anyway, so I did a deep dive on her, and I was shocked to find out about the culture of feminism in Persia and everything that was going on then, the movements that were going on, and how important that was in playing a part of Vashti and Esther's story. But then in regards to studying people out for the podcast, I would have to go with the wife of Pontius Pilate, because of the whole letter that was found that some people say was written by her, some people say it was not. That was fascinating. or Priscilla, who some people say might have written Hebrews. All of that, very fascinating. Mouth literally fell open, shocked to my core. But I can honestly say with, I think, all but maybe two of the women, there has been a moment where my mouth just like falls open when I'm studying, because something that I've never heard before jumps out at me and like slaps me in the face. So I've been surprised by pretty much all of them. Mama Faye, if you were in the Bible, who do you think would be your best friend and or husband? Okay. If I was in the Bible, who would be my best friend or husband? Okay. I want to say David would be my husband. I want to say that so badly. Oh, but probably not. I don't think I'm mainstream enough for him. I don't think he would have noticed me. Oh, the heartbreak. But if I could pick my husband, it would have been David, hands down. Oh, gosh. I actually blushed thinking about that. You know what's funny? Thankfully, my boyfriend's got some thick skin because he doesn't mind that I'm obsessed with this Ted King from a millennia ago. Almost 3 millennia ago. Oh, geez. Anyway, my best friend. I'm going to go with my best friend would be. Geez, that's hard. You know what? I think my best friend would be Rebecca. And that's another one that we haven't done a character study on, though it's coming up. I think she would be my best friend because of her sense of adventure and her willingness to follow the will of God at any cost. And to jump on board the crazy train with a stranger. More on that later. And Mama Faye also wants to know, what's your favorite coffee drink? Okay, so there's a coffee shop here in Marysville, Ohio, called The Coffee Hall. If you ever get a chance to go there, please do. It's so cute. It's a little Christian-owned coffee shop, and it's adorable. And they have a drink called the Flannel Latte, and it comes out in the fall, and it is my favorite coffee. I don't know what they put in that thing, but it is addictive, and it is delicious, and I'm obsessed. Other than that, my favorite coffee order would be Vietnamese coffee. I love Vietnamese coffee, cold or hot. If you've never tried it, try it. It's good. Melissa Williams, how long does it typically take to prepare for one episode? It takes anywhere from 10 to 40 hours. It's a lot of work. It's basically a second job, but it's so much fun to do. So when I have the time to do it, I'm obsessed and it is an absolute blast. That is how long it takes to study, record, edit, and publish. But it's so worth it. God's Little Potato, what's your least favorite part about creating an episode? My least favorite part about that and everything in life is starting. It is very difficult for me to get the gumption up to start. Once I start, I have so much fun, like truly. And I realize how fast it goes and it's an absolute blast and I enjoy it from all aspects. Once I start the research, I'm having fun. Once I start the recording, I have fun. Once I start the editing, I have fun. Once I start working on graphics, I have fun. But until I start, it just hangs over my head as this ginormous task, much like I was talking about earlier in this episode. If you're talking on the technical side of which technical aspect of creating a podcast do I like the least, it would probably be editing, just because that is the part where my OCD and paranoia kicks in the most, and I'm terrified that I've missed something or that I've ruined it or whatever. You know, that part is probably my least favorite, but I still enjoy it. Like, I enjoy editing the episodes. I truly do, but it's like the least fun part of the whole kit and caboodle. Katie Hildebrand, do you ever plan on retelling or adding more to stories that you've already covered? Perhaps. I can see this happening. If I reach the end of that list of 205 women, I might go back and fill in some more blanks. I do know that there are things that I have missed, and it makes me angry and want to punch a wall. But there actually, just the other day, Pastor said something in service regarding Apollos and something else regarding Aquila. And I was like, I missed that when I was studying because I was so dialed in on Priscilla that I forgot about the other two people in that story. Drat. And I wish I could go back and plug it in. The problem is, and the glorious thing is, every time you go back to the Word of God, you find something new. So there will always be new things that I want to add. So I don't know. Let the Lord lead me one way or the other. And the last question came from Paper Hearts. She wanted to know what my research process looks like. The first thing, the most important thing, I pick a soundtrack. I have to find a movie that I feel like is in the same genre or vein as the person I am studying. And I turn that bad boy on and I get amped up and I get dramatic. And then I just start working my butt off. No, the first thing I do actually is I search the name in the Bible, and then I copy and paste every passage of scripture that I can find that has the name in it and in the full context that it's in. So the full paragraph or the full chapter or the full book, depending on who the person is. And then I paste it into a Word document. And then I just start going through piece by piece, meaning word by word, sentence by sentence, paragraph by paragraph, until I have finished the story. I stop every time I have a question. If a name comes up, I say, who was that? And I start Googling. If a place comes up, I say, where is that? And I start Googling. And if like an item comes up, I Google a picture to see what it looks like. And I just go like that. And it kind of snowballs until there's a story. And that's their story is told in scripture. And then I start researching the culture of the people to find out what her life would have looked like, to fill in all the blanks. You know, like if the story is about her as an adult, what was her childhood like based on her culture? I look for any historical context that needs to be provided in the Bible story and how that might have colored or texturized the events that took place. I add all of that together, and then I always wrap it up by Googling, how did she die? I tell you, that's the fastest way to find some very interesting tales. Oftentimes, there's nothing there. Sometimes there is. And that's where you find things like the hidden tomb of Esther or whatever, you know, interesting stuff. So I don't know if that helped or not. I will say I always check to make sure that resources I'm using are reputable. I look to see if they've been updated recently. I look to see if they, first of all, if the grammar and structure of the site looks polished and professional. If it looks kind of haphazard, I generally disregard it. I look to see if there are resources linked, that kind of stuff, because that always lends credence. I avoid Wikipedia, although sometimes I do go on Wikipedia just for kicks and giggles to find out what weird stuff is being said there. And then I research it to find out why it's being said and if it's by mistake that it's there. And sometimes you find really weird stuff. That's actually, I think that's how I found the letter from Pontius Pilate's wife. I think that was noted in a Wikipedia page or something. I can't remember. But anyway, fact check everything against the word of God. And I don't feel that there's any problem in proposing different ideas and theories of what happened. Even if it's in conflict with the word of God, I typically will share it just because it's kind of crazy usually. But then I always make sure to point out that we're going to trust what the word tells us. And if the word doesn't say it, then there's a chance it's not true. And if the word goes against it, it's not true. Yeah, that's my process. When all of that is said and done, I am generally jumping up from my chair, running to my phone, or running to someone that I know, and immediately word vomiting everything I just found out because I'm too excited to wait until I can sit down and do a proper record. That's the process. Thank you all so much for writing in your questions. Thank you for two fantastic years. And thank you for being on the patient bandwagon with me as I stumble through this process. I really appreciate each and every one of you. Like, it warms my heart to no end to know that you're out there somewhere, walking, driving, riding a bike, whatever you're doing, working at a desk. Listening to this ramble, I'm honored to be a part of your life. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you a million times over for being a supporter and being a member of the WOW crowd. That's all I have for you. So thanks for listening. Sorry, it was weird.